And as we stand, I'm going to say a short prayer, so let's pray together. Dear Father, we do thank you for the gift of your word. And we pray now that through the words of a man and through the words of Scripture, we will know you, the living God, speaking in our hearts. And we ask this for your glory's sake and in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated, everyone. Well, I just want to say hello. Great to be here. Great to see you. Thank you for the welcome that Shelley and I have received. And I guess I'd better start by saying a little something about me, so you know who I am and what you've let yourself in for, if that's a good way to put it. I'm 52. My birthday's in July, so I'm 53 this year. I've been ordained 26 years this July, and I was delighted that the liturgical colour today is white, because I'd better wear that. And I was ordained doing this all those years ago. So an important symbol for me. In that 25 plus years, I've had six posts, of which this is my sixth. First one in Canada, but I feel I know Canada pretty well, because after all, I'm married to a Canadian. Shelley's there, it did not matter. And she is keeping me in order and helping me to adjust new world in which I find myself. I love sport, particularly football, which I believe you call soccer. I love Formula One motor racing, and I've already met Brian, who has a similar passion, which is fantastic. But anything with an engine, I tend to enjoy, either driving it or watching it go around. I do like hockey, and it will surprise you to know, so maybe the Lord was preparing me in ways I could never have imagined, that at the age of about eight, I had one of those table hockey games. And one of my friends used to play before we went to school in the morning. I guess the other thing I also enjoy doing when I can is to watch a good movie. And isn't the new Star Wars epic? And if you've not seen it, I'm not going to say a word. I love all of those things. I also have the great joy of having had Jesus find me. So I love him too. And he will be at the centre of all that we will do together. Now, at this point, I'm going to take a terrible twist. Okay? I'm going to do a British joke to see how it works. Because there's a bit of culture here that we've got to adjust to. I've got to find out what you think is funny. And I'm afraid you've got to find out what I think. So here's a joke for you, okay? There's a story that in the Second World War, there were two British soldiers cut off from their regiment while they were serving in the desert. And so they were lost. No food, no water. They were in a terrible shape. Suddenly, one of them turned to the other and said, "Look, in the distance, a bacon tree." His friend said, "There's no such thing as a bacon tree. It's the heat, it's the mirage, it's the sun playing tricks with your mind." But his friend was insistent. He said, "No, I can see a bacon tree. Stay here, I'll get the bacon, we'll be saved." So off he goes, disappeared. A couple of hours later, he comes back. He's dragging his foot like this. He's kind of got an injury there, he's got a black eye. He's not looking very good. And he falls to his knees. And he says, "You know, you were right. It wasn't a bacon tree. It was an ambush." There you go. Now you know what my sense of humour is like. And I promise you won't ever have to hear that again. But the desert and Jesus, and having taken you to the desert for a silly story, I now want you to come with me into the desert again. This time, in the middle of our scene, there isn't a bacon tree or an ambush. There's a river, and there's a crowd of people by this river. And we can see a man. A man is speaking, and everyone is listening to him. A couple of times we see this man lead people into the river where they disappear under, and then a couple of seconds later they come out again. That man we're watching is John the Baptist. And what he's doing is completely radical. Not once in the Old Testament is there talk of baptism by water. He is coming to call the people back to God, and he's come up with this symbol of washing, of there goes the old, new birth, and renewal. But then we see something else happen. Another man comes up to John, and they're having a very long conversation. And then John baptizes this man. He seems hesitant, but he does it. And then we see something extraordinary. A dove comes down on the man who's just been baptized. And some people hear a voice. Not everybody, but some people hear a voice. And the voice that they hear is this: "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Of course, that other man is Jesus. And what we're going to be looking at very briefly is, well, why does today, second Sunday of the year, the lecture we have this reading, this theme, the baptism of Jesus? Why does Jesus get baptized? No need for it, as far as I can see. As far as John the Baptist can see. And perhaps most important of all, why is it relevant to us all here this morning today? And I think that we'll answer the first question about why the lecture has it as we look at the other two. So, let's start. Why was Jesus baptized? We get a little bit of what their conversation was about in Matthew's version. Verse 3, verse 14 says this: "Jesus comes to John to be baptized, but John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me.' Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness.' And then John consented." Why was Jesus baptized? We need to see that this is a pivotal moment in redemption history. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, is coming to an end. And with Jesus comes the inauguration of the kingdom, the new covenant, the new testament. And so it's right that John and Jesus mark this moment. It's almost a bit like a handover, a passing of the baton of the will of God, a new will, a new purpose for his people. And there is Jesus. He goes under the water. There goes the old. Up comes the new. Jesus is also, at that moment, beginning his ministry. It's new. God is doing a new thing. And it starts now for Jesus. As he's baptized, as he goes under the water, there goes his old life. He is no longer Jesus the carpenter. That guy, that son of Mary, who made all the furniture for the people in the village. He comes up, beginning a new ministry as the person God has called. He's handing himself over to God publicly and in trust. There goes the old one. Baptism is a powerful symbol. Indeed, water is used a lot symbolically in the Bible. Baptism is about a principle we often receive in the Bible, a principle we know in our old life, that before a new beginning, there always comes an ending. There goes the old, up with the new. Or another way of looking at it is death, resurrection. The Apostle Paul is very interesting on this, and I love this little verse, for those of you who want to know. It's chapter 6 and verse 4 of Romans. I'll read it to you. It says this: "We, therefore," that's us, "were therefore buried with Jesus through baptism into his death, in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Death, resurrection. When we hand ourselves over to God, there goes the old. But by his Spirit, up comes the new. Handing ourselves over to the new will of God. New risen. And then, God does something amazing. The Father does something amazing for Jesus. So up he's come, out of the water, and then comes the anointing, the blessing of the Holy Spirit. The Father is now, that he's handed himself over to the Father, anointing Jesus for the ministry that he's called him. And this ministry is being done by and in the power of the Spirit. The Spirit is given after we've handed ourselves over to God. It's never the other way around. Hand ourselves over. God enables us. So what does that all mean for us today? I don't know about how you feel this morning. It feels exciting for me. New beginning for us all. And with new beginnings come endings. Just a very simple one. Now I've arrived, the transition team's ministry has come to an end. I think they're wonderful. I'm actually quite sad. I won't have the opportunity to work with them in quite the same way. So thank you, Joe, and to Keith, and to Kathy, for all the work that they have done. It's a time of handing ourselves over to God. It's a time of letting him lead us into the new direction that he has for us. It's all about adjusting to the new life that he has in store. And if ever that ever sounds scary, if ever we're kind of conscious of, I don't know your life, what handing myself over to God might mean, and may I draw us to a close by leaving you with those lovely words of Isaiah 43. I don't know if you mark passages in your Bible at home, but may I highly commend this one. This is how God feels about you. So do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. Since you are precious and honoured in my sight. Did you know you were? Did you wake up this morning knowing that you are precious and honoured in the Lord's sight? And because I love you, I will give nations in exchange for you. So do not be afraid, for I am with you. I don't know about you, but I can never tire of reading those words. But when we don't do very well, or things have gone a bit, I don't know if you have the phrase here, pear-shaped, which means they haven't worked out exactly as we intended in our own lives, we are precious and honored in his sight. So you are dearly loved by God. I promise I won't say that joke again, but I will keep telling us all how loved we are by God. I'm going to keep repeating it until we start living it and believing it, if we're not already doing so. You are uniquely created, and I'm talking to you, not the person next to you. You are uniquely created. Not once in all of history has there been anyone your particular character or personality or gifts and skills. God the Father did not make a mistake when he made you. You, us, me, Shelley, all of us are a crucial part of God's dearly loved family of St. Luke's And he has a plan. We know he wants us all to flourish and grow. We know that he wants to work in us and work through us, that we might be a blessing to everyone around us. He has been at work preparing us during the interim, Shelley and I, helping us to let go of our previous life in England so that we might hand ourselves unencumbered to him. And we've now been brought together with his vision, building the kingdom, growing together in love, grace, and fellowship. How exciting is that? Brilliant. So he invites us, you and me, at this moment, as symbolized very powerfully in that passage, to hand ourselves over to him. Trust me, he says, that I might anoint you afresh and bless you anew with the Holy Spirit. So I invite you to pray with me, that he clearly guides us. I invite you to pray with me that he fills us all with his Holy Spirit. I invite you to pray with me that he shall bless our community through all that he does in us and through us. Let's pray. Father, thank you that Jesus handed himself over to baptism, that symbol of his trust in you, that you might anoint him for the work you had in store for him. Now, Father, we do the same, not just now, but every day of our lives. Help us to hand ourselves daily over to you, that you might anoint us for ministry and use us for your glory. But Father, thank you most of all for your love for us. Thank you how special we are in your sight. Help us never to forget that, and help us to live. And we ask this for your glory's sake and in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.